Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of Chapter 14 from the National Academy of Sports Medicine's Essentials of Personal Fitness Training. My name is Eddie Lester, here to take you through the PowerPoint lecture for Chapter 14. So looking at slide 1, Chapter 14 covers integrated program design and the optimum performance training model. So in this particular lecture, we're going to try to explain to you exactly what NASM wants you to know about program design, and also maybe a little bit about how you can apply the principles of NASM's program design to create a program for one of your own goals or one of your clients' goals. All right, so looking over to slide 2, the objectives of this presentation are to define and describe the acute training variables within the OPT model, describe the stages and phases within the OPT model, design programs for each phase of training. All right, so clicking over to slide 3. So with NASM's program design, they're looking to assist you in avoiding traditional programs. So most of the time, traditional programs are going to be based on the experiences of the fitness professional. And typically those have led to unscientifically supported training programs that have created confusion for the fitness professional, more or less. So typically, you know, your trainers are going to be taking people through programs that have worked for them, and not necessarily taking into account the ability level of the client or their current state of stabilization or strength or core stability, anything. It just kind of says, hey, you know, this is how I got lean and this is how I gained muscle, so I'm going to give this to my clients. And that leads to a lot of potential injury and dangerous training for new clients. So what did NASM do? They created this OPT model, or optimum performance training model, that is going to be safe, effective, and productive. And specifically, they're going to claim that it's very scientifically researched protocol. And it is, and it does work, and it's a great way to make sure that you keep your clients safe as you get them towards their fitness goals. So fitness professionals must be competent at designing resistance training programs for a variety of client goals. And when using a structured, scientifically based program design model, like the OPT model, it becomes very simple. All right, so clicking over to slide 4, so program design. Creating a purposeful system or plan to achieve a goal. That's the whole point of what you're doing as a personal trainer. You're trying to create a system or a plan to get someone to a goal. And basically, you're trying to sell that to them, but make sure that, you know, you take them through the program in order to get them towards that goal and have them achieve that goal. So the purpose of a training program is to provide a path for the client to achieve his or her goal. And the OPT model is basically that path. And it requires the fitness professional to have a comprehensive understanding of key concepts. Clicking over to slide 5. So, what exercises are most appropriate for my client? What exercise intensities are appropriate for my client? How many exercises are appropriate for my client? How many sets and repetitions should I have my client perform? How many days per week should my client train? And how long should my client rest in between sets? These are all going to change and vary depending on your client's goal, or your goal for this instance. So clicking over to slide 6, periodization is the whole point behind why you create programs. And that's because you're going to eventually get used to a type of training. So what periodization does is it's going to break your program into small progressive stages, for instance, about 3 to 4 week programs, or that's what I recommend. NASM would recommend about a 4 to 6 week training program. And then it's going to change it up so that you don't plateau. You're always changing and you're always creating that alarm reaction, which we learned about in the previous chapter. So looking at the first bullet point on slide 6, physiologic adaptations of stabilization, strength, and power must take place in a planned, progressive manner to establish the proper foundation of strength for each subsequent adaptation. A simple definition of periodization is changing the acute variables around every 3 to 6 weeks to avoid plateau and overtraining. So for instance, typically with your stabilization phase training, you can stick to a 6 week training program, no problem, because you're going to be progressing that client on a stabilization basis. When you get more towards the hypertrophy, strength, and power programs, you're going to want to keep those more to that 3 to 4 weeks, because typically you're increasing load or you're increasing volume to the point at which you might peak at that week 3 or 4. And if you go to week 5 and 6, you're only putting yourself at risk for injury. So clicking over to slide 7, the OPT model phases. There's going to be 5 training phases that are going to be associated with each individual fitness goal. So the 5 training phases, how do these phases promote specific adaptations? What are the acute variables for each of the phases? Let's go ahead and click over to slide 8. the application, selecting the right exercises, selecting the right acute variables, which is sets, reps, tempo, intensity, rest period, that sort of thing, and applying in a periodized manner to different populations to achieve different goals. All right, so clicking over to slide 9, here we have the OPT model. The picture on your screen is going to be a staircase in which you build the foundation of stabilization, and then you move to phase 2, strength, endurance, hypertrophy, max strength, and power. And all of those are going to be planned and progressive, according to NASM. So clicking over to slide 10, acute variables. So acute variables are going to be the most fundamental component of designing the training program, in the sense that you are going to choose the sets, you are going to choose the reps, you are going to choose the weight or the intensity, you're going to choose the rest period, and you're going to choose the tempo that are all going to be to gear them towards a specific goal. These also determine the amount of stress placed on the body, and or more or less the volume of training, and ultimately what adaptation will incur. So clicking over to slide 11, here is a list of all the acute variables that you need to take into account when designing a training program. So first one, you have repetitions. That's going to be a complete movement of a body part. For instance, a one push-up is one repetition. A set would be a group of repetitions. Training intensity is going to be typically the load. Training volume is the total amount of work done in one training session. Tempo is going to be the rate at which you do one repetition. For instance, if it's slow, medium, or fast. Rest interval is going to be the rest in between each set. And then exercise selection is the type of exercise that you're going to do. Exercise order is the order in which you're going to do exercises. Training duration is going to be how long you train for in one session. And training frequency is how many times per week you should train. Obviously, we're going to continue to go over these through the next few slides, so follow along. Clicking over to slide 12, repetitions, one complete movement of a particular exercise. So in one complete movement of an exercise, you're typically going to have three muscle actions. So here we go. Concentric. We learned about this in that chapter 2, chapter 3, or in the sciences section. Concentric is going to be muscle shortening. For instance, the upward version of a bicep curl would be concentric. You have isometric, which is going to be the pause. And then we have eccentric, which lowers the weight back into the initial starting point. So in the repetition, the upward phase would be concentric in a bicep curl, isometric would be the hold at the top, and eccentric is moving that dumbbell down or extending the elbow all the way through. So that, and within one repetition, you're going to have a concentric, isometric, and eccentric phase. So also a repetition is a means to count a number of movements performed in a given amount of time. So in combination with repetition tempo, it also accounts for time under tension, which time under tension is going to be important, because if you do one rep at 2 seconds per rep, that's going to be a total of 2 seconds of work. If you do 10 reps at 2 seconds, that's going to be 20 seconds of work. But if you take that exact same rep range and you increase the tempo to about 5 seconds per rep, if you do 10 reps, that's going to be 50 seconds, which is almost, you know, a time and a half times the total work that you did with a slow or with a faster tempo. Good. So clicking over to slide 13, repetitions again. Each training phase has specific goals and therefore requires specific number of repetitions to achieve these goals. Training in a specific repetition range yields a specific adaptation. So here's where you're going to run into some test questions. Chapter 14 is packed with test questions. Probably besides the assessment chapter, the second most important chapter to understand as far as or where the total number of test questions come from. Right here on this page, or in this chart, you're going to have two test questions.